Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Kuzma for three on the other end. He hit it. A Michelob Ultra 3 for Kyle Kuzma, who's starting to heat up against his former team.
Bucks talk starts now.
And the Bucks, on the second night of a back-to-back, are going to escape Washington with a 104-101 victory.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Two straight out of the All-Star break, three straight overall for the Bucks. And look, you can point to the Washington Wizards schedule. It wasn't the prettiest win, but a win is a win. And all the pieces the Bucks were down, especially in terms of their offense and initiating things, this is a nice win for the Bucks. A night two of a back-to-back. Doc talked about it afterwards. They arrived in town at 3 a.m. You get up for the game. It was certainly going to be an emotional game for most members of this team and coaching staff, facing Chris Middleton for the first time, and just how bizarre that had to feel for a number of players. Giannis, Brooke Lopez, Pat Connaughton, even, and guys that are long tenured with this team. You saw Peter Fagan and other members of the organization in D.C. just to be there for Chris Middleton's first game against the Bucks, and literally his first game against the Bucks. He played, 27 games for the Pistons his rookie season, did not appear in any of the four games against the Milwaukee Bucks that year. So a very, very surreal setting to see Chris Middleton taking the floor in a different jersey. But, Brandon, I don't know how to put this and not sound unkind. It's not my intention, but this is kind of like, so have you seen the movie The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston?
Oh, I have, but it's been a while.
So at the very end, after they had broken up and they see each other on the street and, hey, it's good to see you, and they move on, and I'm pretty happy where I am.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I felt of, I respect Chris Middleton. I'm so appreciative of everything he did for this organization on and off the court. We talked about the numbers, all the achievements. He made a multi-time, three-time All-Star, Olympic gold medalist, etched his name near the top of every single offensive category in Bucks franchise history, was up there in games played, points scored, was going to be number two, number one in three-pointers, one of the all-time greats. It was probably time. And I think the Bucks are in a better spot.
Yeah, I think that was perfectly said, Justin. Great analogy too, because I think that was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head to open up the show, Justin. That at the end of the day, when April comes around and we're looking at the Bucks seeding, or we're looking at playoff matchups, like, who cares how you get the win, especially in February on the second leg of a back to back, right? Like, I'll take a win any day against any opponent. Was it the prettiest of wins? Of course not. But we've also been a part of some really pretty losses, and those suck more. So I'll take this win against the Washington Wizards, an emotional game, as you mentioned, for both sides of the ball, for Kyle Kuzma as well. I'm sure we'll talk about later tonight. But I do want to hand out two game balls tonight, Justin, if you don't mind. I got to hand out two for the winning Bucks, because I felt like, without these two guys, we might have the conversation of last night. Maybe they don't win. You know, Giannis had a pretty good game last night as well. But tonight, they definitely don't win without these two guys. The first one, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Kyle Kuzma, since he has arrived in Milwaukee, Justin, has been about as consistent gets. Giannis was in foul trouble all game long. You know, we have mentioned it. No Damian Lillard, no Taurean Prince. And Kuz was just kind of carrying the load offensively, driving, you know, getting downhill. He hit a couple of threes. But overall, since he's arrived to Milwaukee, if you would have told me this at the trade deadline, because, again, Chris Middleton is one of the best, and you know how I feel about him, if that Kyle Kuzma coming to Milwaukee without playing alongside Giannis for a big, you know, the first week or so in Milwaukee, averaging 16 points and 8 rebounds per game as a Buck, I would have signed my name on the dotted line. And what he does defensively has been underrated. I didn't realize defensively, you know, the type of player he is, and he showcased that a little bit last night against the L.A. Clippers. But without a doubt, in my opinion, he's been exactly what this team has needed. And the second game ball, going out to another trade deadline acquisition. Kevin Porter Jr., man, off the bench. We had talked about him last night at length. 12 points, had three consecutive scoring possessions in that fourth quarter for the Bucks. After he scored the third one, I think that's kind of where it died down for this Bucks offensively. But, man, you talk about a guy coming off of the bench and kind of being that spark plug for a team that now is going to be without Bobby Portis, who has been their spark plug offensively. 23 minutes tonight for KPJ. Last night he played 15. Obviously, without Damian Lillard, that means more minutes for him tonight. But I wouldn't mind seeing those minutes kind of even out and hover around that 20 to 25 range, Justin, with him when we have a healthy Bucks team and Damian Lillard's back. But a great win overall. And maybe we can dive into this later. Maybe this is a super tease for you. John Horst continues to be underrated. Absolutely cooked with this trade deadline. The game balls
but there's still a lot of the race left. But yes, I mean,
agree,
on the
but
surface,
overall, yeah. Overall, though, I think he's an outstanding executive. I mean, we can go over everything he's done. Like, I just feel like he is very underrated, and this trade deadline, as it is right now in the first 3 weeks or 2 weeks or so, you're right, it's fairly early. This has been perfect for this Bucks team. For this specific team, I thought he's absolutely cooked this trade deadline. So it's been fun to watch so far.
So I knew you couldn't help yourself when you say they don't win the game without these players, and you omit the name of the guy who blocked Chris Middleton at the rim, hit some clutch free throws to help the Bucks win the game.
Yes.
Do you want to revisit a third game ball?
You know, and again, Brooke Lopez is going to be that player when he's done. I said it last night that I will look back and be like, at times I was too harsh on. Because he does everything right. You know what I mean? Like, defensively, he has been one of the best consistent players for this Bucks team tonight. 18 points again tonight. I suppose you're right. I got to give him a game ball tonight because you're right. Let me ask you this question here. Did it hurt a little bit that it was Chris Middleton that he blocked? Because it hurt me a little bit. I'll take the win, but you know what I mean.
No, yeah, because the team needed the win. But
yeah.
Yeah, and again, like, I don't mean this in a let's pile on Chris and call Chris washed type of move here. It's just watching the team now and watching some of the things that they're able to do. It just gives me the feeling of, yeah, this, as tough as it is for a lot of people to move on from Chris Middleton, yeah, this was the right thing to do, and this was the right time to do it. If you argue it's not the right time, it's because it should have happened a year ago, you know, maybe earlier than that. That, look, I get what he did in the playoffs, but Chris himself, in that interview he did with Jim Ozarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and talking about the emotions that he was going through at the time of the trade, and how difficult it was for him to think, like, wait a minute, you really traded me, and trying to process that. Yeah. And then, you know, saying, like, look, I get it. Ultimately came down to the fact that we're on different timelines, that they were in a, we got to go now. Like, we need this now. We need you on the floor now. We don't really have time for somebody to work themselves back into the mix. And that's where I'm at. That I think he acknowledged it, too, that it was kind of time for both to move into a different direction here, and to see how they're able to play a little bit differently, that to me is the big part, because I think last night against the Clippers, it was a second unit that did a lot of the comeback and steering things in the right direction. Kyle Kuzma was huge tonight in that regard. You started the second half of the third quarter with Giannis kind of doing what he did last night in the fourth quarter against the Clippers and starting to assert himself and take over. But there were more moments tonight when you looked at the floor and you saw, man, there's a lot of guys. It's not just Giannis that are going to get up and down the floor and run. And that sequence last night against the Clippers, too, when you had 1 through 5 guys that could switch. Same with tonight. We saw it for stretches with Jericho Sims on the floor. That it's just a style of play we haven't seen in quite some time. And look, it's not as if the Bucks are at the Oklahoma City Thunder level of athleticism and defense, but they moved closer to that direction than they were before.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. I'm trying to like scratch my brain here a little bit and go back to when, and again, I'm not comparing this team to any other team in Bucks in the last handful of years, but when was, like, in your opinion, when was the last time you felt this Bucks team could move the way that we're seeing them move now? And again, I'm not comparing wins or you know roster per se, but you know, Jericho Sims, like you told Doc Rivers, he could guard 1 through 5. Kyle Kuzma can guard. We saw him on Steph Curry last week. Like, you know, Ryan Rollins is a stout defender. I mean, Brooke Lopez is one of the best. Like, Kevin Porter Jr. off the bench. Like, I don't know. This team just feels a lot different. And it passes the eye test. I don't know what the analytics would say, but like, I can't remember a Bucks team that moved the way that this team moves. And again, they have a lot to prove. They have a lot to do. Playoffs aren't here yet. We're still in February. I don't slow my own train down, but watching it, Justin, it seems it's been a few years since we've seen something like this.
There is one potential comparison for Kyle Kuzma that I think is in very recent memory that you would look at and say, well, I do recall a similar conversation around this player before the time of his trade and how that panned out. And again, it's what, 6 games? 7 games that Kyle Kuzma has played, but I think you're starting to see a little bit of those similarities between this trade that I'll reference coming up in just a moment here. But yeah, a nice win. And we mentioned Kevin Porter Jr. I think he continues to be intriguing. I still think there's a lot of inconsistency there, but he gives you something this team has not had in quite some time in the role that he plays, a guy that is more of a, he's not really a point guard per se. I know Doc Rivers, if you read between the lines, Doc Rivers feels he's more of a point guard than Ryan Rollins is. But he gives you that type of like shifty, angular guy that he plays at his own speed. He is certainly talented. You cannot question that. And it just seems like some of these shots he makes and his ability to get to the rim, it's effortless. And when you talk about John Horst, that's one of the other moves that really sticks out. Look, this isn't to relitigate all the off-the-court discussions that we had and everything that I think is fair to bring up surrounding Kevin Porter Jr., but just in terms of the basketball talent, that was a massive win in that trade to trade out Marjon Beauchamp, a player that you believed in very highly. First-round draft pick, 3 years back, tried to develop, but you declined his fourth-year player option. That typically means you're not going to re-sign that player in the offseason. So, and he wasn't in the rotation. So you had already kind of moved on from him, and you get a guy in Kevin Porter Jr. who can give you defense, gives you athleticism, gives you more youth, and he's got one more year on a player option that he can pick up and be very cost-controlled productivity for this team moving forward. So I continue to be intrigued by Kevin Porter Jr. and what we've seen from him so far. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The comparison that I hinted at in what I think is ideally the best comp for Kyle Kuzma. We're a ways from getting there, but it's starting to feel like it's trending there. We'll reveal who that is coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Hands off to Kuzma, tries to get to the rim. Right-hand layup is good. Kind of threw a shoulder into a defender again. Third or fourth time we've seen him do that tonight. Kuzma physical and attacking his former team.
104-101, Bucks beat the Washington Wizards tonight. 31-24 now on the season. Half game back of the Indiana Pacers for the fourth best record in the Eastern Conference. Wizards came into play tonight with the worst record in the league, just 9 wins. But as we mentioned, no Damian Lillard. Torian Prince was a late scratch in this one as well. Bobby Portis serving game number 2 of that suspension. And this wasn't a game you played without Giannis, but you have played without Giannis. Still on a minutes restriction. Doc talked about, and we'll get to some of his comments momentarily, but he just tonight, last night, never really able to get into a rhythm because of how they're trying to keep him on that minutes restriction, and even acknowledge that it might be something we have to kind of revisit and figure out if we want to tweak that. It's basically been 6 minutes every quarter that he plays. I found it interesting of, I forget the exact quote, but Doc said, I know he's not happy about it, but we're going to keep doing it. So in light of the comments that Giannis made a couple of days ago, that look, he talked about staying in Milwaukee, essentially, and I'm not going to ask to be traded. That's what everybody took from it. But I think the more interesting comments in there were about last year's injury and this year's, saying it wasn't like it just happened last year against the Celtics. I started to feel some discomfort in the calf, and I could tell something was starting to bubble up there a month or so leading into it, and it eventually just kind of exploded on me. So that kind of led him to being more open to, let's change the approach, and let's not play you for 17 days. Let's put you on a minutes restriction. I wonder how long that minutes restriction is going to last. Because you get
the
sense.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah?
Were you surprised he played tonight? Because when I saw the injury report, I was actually
well, if you told
surprised.
Me they'd be without one of those two guys, I would have assumed it was Giannis and not Damian Lillard. That would not play. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think ideally the hope was once that got to a 15-point lead, it stayed there. So you did not have to bring back Giannis or Brooke Lopez in this game. But the similarity, the player that I referenced before when you brought up Kyle Kuzma and what we've seen from him, certainly athleticism, defensive ability, his shooting is going to be important because you figure he's going to get a lot of catch-and-shoot opportunities playing next to Giannis. And I think one of the things we saw a lot of tonight that we did not see last night, and it's one of the bigger questions of how does this fit with Giannis, in those games that Kyle Kuzma played for the Bucks while Giannis was out, I don't want to say it was Giannis light, but Kyle Kuzma was like leading transition, getting up and down the floor, attacking the basket, unorthodox shots. And last night against the Clippers, it was primarily catch and shoot threes. So how you find that balance is going to be important. And it was there tonight. But again, Giannis never really got into a rhythm tonight. The guy that I think the best case scenario for the Bucks, if this deal works out and the way that Kuz has looked so far and is less than 10 games in a Bucks uniform, that carries through the playoffs. Great. I think the comp that is sitting out there is a player that was moved at the deadline last year in a trade where the team that dealt him gave up not like a long-time tenured player, but an important piece, a recent free agent acquisition, and a top two protected first-round pick at the trade deadline for this player. And the discourse surrounding the player we're about to name was, he's only played on losing teams, doesn't know what it's like to win, isn't a winner. I don't know that he's a playoff player. Why would you make this type of deal? That player was PJ Washington for the Charlotte Hornets, who had never played in a playoff game before that run to the finals with the Dallas Mavericks last year, where he was an integral part in their rebuilt defense as a two-way player, a guy that was sniping corner threes, brought more defensive IQ, and brought a lot of the ability that we saw collegiately when he played at Kentucky and everybody raved over him, but he just kind of went off to Charlotte and sat there, and you forget about him. And then one playoff run, you all of a sudden say, yeah, this is the guy that I remember. We talked about Kyle Kuzma a week ago, Brandon, and that, you know, the traits were always there at Utah. He had a really nice run with the Lakers. He was a nice piece in that bubble championship. He was the third or fourth option there. And that was the only playoff basketball he had experienced. And people looked at this move and said, I don't know, this When's the last time he played on a winning team? Like, can he do that? What can you expect from him? Like, Chris Middleton, we at least know what he can do offensively. You're really going to replace Kyle Kuzma with him. I'm not going to compare the players that P.J. Washington was traded for were Seth Curry and Grant Williams. I'm not going to compare either of those two to Chris Middleton. But I think there's a lot of parallels to this, of just seeing sometimes it just takes being in the right spot to reawaken those parts of your game.
And he's proven, Justin, to your point with the Lakers, like that he played he was the third fiddle, right, with LeBron James and Anthony Davis in L.A., and he did it wonderfully. And I just think that the reason a lot of this, I think, is the way that it is, especially if you're on social media or if you're in the group chats and you're in casual conversations, is that because John Horst has spoiled this franchise in a way to where, Justin, if it's not a blockbuster trade, if they're not breaking into the 12 o'clock news with a trade like they did with the Damian Lillard and the Drew Holiday and big moves like that, that people are like, well, what's Kyle Kuzma going to bring to a team? And the reality is that, and I'm one of them, to be quite honest with you, I didn't watch the Washington Wizards night in and night out like I do with the Milwaukee Bucks. I would watch them when they played the Bucks if they were on national TV, which was probably never. Maybe I would turn it on and pay a little bit of attention to. But Kyle Kuzma was always an interesting player for me, and we're getting some kickback in the YouTube comments saying that we're hating on Kyle Kuzma. And I think it's the complete opposite between both of us, Justin. I think both of you and I have been really high on him since he's come to Milwaukee. Now we want to see it. You know, we got to let it, you know, kind of, you know, water the grass and let it grow a little bit. And we're still waiting for that full plethora, you know, of this team. And obviously that's going to change now with Bobby Portis. But I think that this has been a terrific move. And I don't think either one of us have been critical of the move at all. But I think big part of that is with the trade deadline is that you see a lot of other teams make headlines. You know, you see a lot of other fans. If you fans out there, just prisoner of the moment. Like, if you're not out there getting a A-list player that you watched on All-Star Saturday night, your team, quote unquote, doesn't want to win. But in my opinion, John Horst did everything right at the trade at this trade deadline this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, ideally with Kyle Kuzma too. This trade also kind of, it aligns with where the league is headed in that, like, if you, and I hesitate to even say stars, because the only way you can build that type of roster is, like, look at the Thunder, you know, with young guys that are your draft picks that you've developed, or in the case of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, still young enough where you knew there was something special there and he was part of that Paul George trade that you netted him. So that's the quote-unquote stars, where you can really group them together. Otherwise, we're at a spot in the league where you can put together those types of rosters. You got 2 to 3 years, basically, with aprons, with the second apron and what that means, and how you got to cleanse yourself and get under that second apron to unfreeze your draft picks. It's a very, very small window that you have. And to me, this trade was a number of things. It was flexibility for the Bucks, and I think we cannot lose sight of the fact that that was the biggest piece of this trade. We talked about it the night of the deal and in the days afterwards. Yes, it's a belief in Kyle Kuzma and what he allows you to do defensively, and as Doc has really talked about quite a bit now, his transition play as well, to have a guy like Kuz and Giannis playing together, pushing the pace, getting up and down the floor, switchability, right? That helps, and that changes things, and it checks off a lot of boxes the Bucks did not have the last, 2 years? But it gives you a ton of flexibility in the offseason as well.
Absolutely.
You brought in young pieces that you can say, hey, Kevin Porter Jr. has a player option. If he picks that up, it's under $3 million that he's under contract for next season. Jericho Sims, I believe, has 1 year left as well. Like,
I believe so, yep.
There's something there that you can develop. So it gives you flexibility down the road, but it just allows you to play differently. And I think what we saw so many times where the Bucks had these pieces like a Giannis that can get up and down the floor, Damian Lillard in this half-court offense, but Dame isn't an up-tempo player. I think that was the big misnomer when he came here, is people thought, well, Giannis and Dame, we're going to play at a high tempo and get up and down the floor. Dame plays at a more controlled pace, but you just started to introduce more and more pieces where it was, well, we're kind of confined to playing this way. And Giannis is really the only guy other than rookies that we have that can do this. Now, I hesitate to say there are multiple ways they can play, but it's as close to that as it has ever been when we talk about some of the lineups we've seen these last 2 days. And granted, I don't necessarily expect to see these lineups in the playoffs with it, like a Jericho Sims, Kyle Kuzma, Kevin Porter Jr., Ryan Rollins switching everything 1 through 5, but they had none of that. That was not even an option on the table before for the Bucks. It was basically, our bigs are Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez. If we want to switch, great. Giannis is our 5. We got to figure out what we're going to do at 2, 3, and 4. And that's totally changed now, where you've moved closer to where the rest of the league is.
Yeah, and it's exciting, right? Because the Eastern Conference is going to be a bloodbath come playoff time. And Cleveland got better at the trade deadline. Boston's still Boston. New York, you know, has looked to be better and kind of righted their ship as the season goes on. So this is the cool thing with this team, though. And I know you and I, Justin, have, before the trade deadline, said the roster just makes sense. I hate to be like, I don't want to sound like a homer and the guy that's carrying the water for the Bucks, but I feel like this roster makes even more sense following the trade deadline. Like, I think you and I had an extended conversation about where this team was. I believe it was the right after the trade deadline. You flat out asked me, like, do you think they're better? And I said, I think so. I'm going to say yes. We didn't see a whole lot yet, obviously. I think that was Kyle Kuzma's first game. But now I'm definitively saying yes. Like, there's without a doubt that this is a better basketball team in many different ways. Tonight is a perfect example of that. You don't have Damian Lillard. Giannis is in foul trouble. And whether you squeak out a win or not, you got the win. And two of the guys that did it, that really kind of carried it for you, were two guys that you acquired a few weeks ago. That's going to be important come, you know, playoff time. And I would imagine the Bucks are, you know, are making plans for a deep playoff run. You're going to need guys outside of Giannis and Dame to kind of step up and get comfortable being uncomfortable. And we're seeing that with them being out right now. And I think it's only going to help this team come playoff time.
I would lean towards yes, they are a better team after these trades. But again, we still have to see it in the playoffs. Like,
yeah, well,
look at what Chris Middleton did in the playoffs last year. Like, I get he hasn't looked like that guy, and I get all the questions surrounding him. But we had a lot of those same discussions last year going into the playoffs, and he was the guy that basically made it a 6-game series. So that's the question that still needs to be answered, and we can't answer it until we get into April. But yeah, I'm definitely leaning towards this team is a better team now after the trade deadline. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as they make it 3 in a row. Back-to-back wins on back-to-back nights as well. They got 5 more of these back-to-backs in this second half schedule. You beat the Timberwolves going into the break, beat the Clippers coming out of the break, and now beat the Wizards tonight. So up next, you got an afternoon, I guess we can call it afternoon game, 5 o'clock tip Sunday against the Miami Heat. And with these results tonight, Bucks and the Heat are tied for the 10th best defensive rating in the league. So we said it was important to go on a little bit of a run coming out of the All-Star break. It's not the most challenging part of your second half schedule that has a ton of challenges. Like, you still got the Denver Nuggets on there relatively soon, next week. You got the Houston Rockets next week as well. The Miami Heat are still kind of hovering around a chance to get out of the play-in tournament. So these are important games for the Bucks, and this is exactly how you wanted to see them start the second half schedule. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. More after this on Bucks Talk.
Middleton driving past Kuzma, left-hand shot swatted away by Lopez. Brook came in from the weak side and blocked it. Bucks come away with it.
Yeah, nice game from Brook Lopez tonight. Some crucial free throws down the stretch. That block on Chris Middleton to not seal the game, but go a long way towards sealing the game. And the Bucks now just a half game back of the Indiana Pacers for the 4th seed in the Eastern Conference with this 104-101 win tonight. The Miami Heat won in overtime, beating the Toronto Raptors. So Miami is 26 and 28 on the season. The Pistons are winning, so you're not going to get any help there. You're still going to be two games up on the Pistons in the loss column. I suppose the help came in the form of the Cleveland Cavaliers just absolutely blasting the New York Knicks, but you're still five back of them. It's really focus on the Indiana Pacers, and can you get home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, assuming that's going to be a 4-5 with the Bucks and the Pacers for a second consecutive year. Indiana, by the way, off the next two nights. They don't play again until Sunday afternoon when they host the Los Angeles Clippers, and that's part of a back-to-back where the Pacers have the Clippers at home and then the Nuggets at home Monday night. So we said, hey, their schedule starts to pick up a little bit with those opponents. Bucks are going through the same thing as well. So they got the Nuggets next week. They got the Clippers last night. They have the Houston Rockets next week as well. So it's going to be fascinating to see what these two teams do. But, you know, for the Bucks, I think the big things are this. Where can the defense climb to? Like the offense, is, as we look at the overall numbers now through this game, I mentioned the Bucks are tied with the Miami Heat for the 10th best defense in the league. Full season. If you told any of us that before the season started, hey, Bucks are consistently going to be a top 10 defense, I think we would all assume, man, the Bucks are one of the top two records in the East then. Like if we're assuming the offense is going to be much better, if that defense is top 10, look out. The offense is 14th. Like it's still finding its footing. And again, you didn't have Dame, all the pieces you were missing. That's certainly a part of it, but you'd love to see that offense start to climb. Like, I can live with the defense even falling down a peg or two if it means the offense is starting to push that top seven space.
With that as well, Justin, I mean, the optimistic, you know, the glass is half full side of me wants to say that I think that offensive number is going to keep climbing the more that, you know, we hope Damian Lillard gets back, and Giannis is obviously on the minute restrictions, but hopefully going forward that falls off eventually. And I don't want to say a new look team, but like I feel like when you lose a guy like Chris Middleton, it kind of feels like a new look team. It's definitely different. I think the longer these guys play together, and you know, Kuzma kind of slides into that role that he's in. The third, you know, I don't want to say the big three because that's always a debate. But, like, you know, the third player, third scoring option for this Bucks team, and Kevin Porter Jr. continues to come off the bench, and A.J. Green continues to do what he's done offensively. Gary Trent Jr., I know he didn't have a game tonight that he'll remember, but nonetheless, he's been fantastic since he had that rough start to the season. I think that offensive number is going to climb. Let me ask you a quick question here. For this Bucks team to be a title contender, I believe in the beginning of the year, you said it's got to be in the top five. Do you still feel that it's got to get into the top five, or are you...
Well, it's not.
Like, it's not.
They're not going to go from 14th to 5th.
Correct, but that's what I'm trying to get to, is do you think that they can... It's sustainable to get maybe in the top 10, maybe top 7. I don't know. 7 might be kind of hard, too, but there's only... 30 games left or 27 games left, but where's the sweet spot? Like, ideally, obviously, you want to get as close as you can to that, but like, is the top 10 good enough?
I think you have to be top 10.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
I will live with it's more the eye test of all the guys that are out and the way they handle these last 20 plus games with, again, we don't know how long Giannis is going to be on a minutes restriction. If they're doing the same thing with Damian Lillard as well. So you need to find what works defensively, and I think largely they have, and just see subtle signs of, yeah, when they're healthy and they have everybody on the floor together, I like where this is headed offensively. I do want to take a look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, the schedule that's in front of the Bucks, and the remaining back-to-backs and the importance of those, but more importantly, the games that they have left against top 10 teams, where they currently stand and where they need to be. We'll get into that conversation after this. Bucks now 31-24 on the season with this win tonight over the Washington Wizards. They get the Miami Heat up next Sunday afternoon. at Fiserv Forum and taking a look to the week ahead for the Bucks. The Heat on Sunday. Got a lot of Sunday games.
That's what I've
noticed,
too.
Starting to pile up. And not only that, night games on Sunday.
Yes.
Like, I'm fine with a Sunday game, but...
A 1 o'clock start.
Yeah, I mean, can we get a noon tip in there every once in a while, even on Saturdays? Heat on Sunday at the Rockets on Tuesday, the Nuggets in Milwaukee on Thursday, and then you got a stretch of 2 out of 3 games against the Dallas Mavericks. Both of those are very likely going to be without Anthony Davis, who I don't think the Mavs are going to reevaluate until March 6th, I want to say, was the date, and the Bucks' games against the Mavs are March 1st and 5th, so you may luck out there. When you talked about where do they need to be offensively, I think the one thing I am most keeping an eye on, and you absolutely need to see positive traction on, is something that we saw tonight. And you did not see positive traction in this category. As we stand, the Bucks have a 103.2 defensive rating in clutch situations. That is fifth best in the NBA. They have played 24 clutch games. They're now 13-11 in those games. They've won 2 straight, tonight and last night. You look at the rest of the teams around the Bucks, it makes sense for the most part. The Magic are number 1. They've been elite defensively most of the season. That makes sense. The Grizzlies are number 2. They've been very good most of the season as well, defensively. Indiana Pacers have played better defense this year. They're number 3. Clippers are number 6. You got the Bucks, as we mentioned, at number 5. But offensively, the Bucks have a 95.5 offensive rating in the clutch. So when the score is within 5 points at any point during the final 5 minutes of a game, 95.5. They are one of 2 teams that have an offensive rating below 100 in the clutch. The other team they played and beat tonight in the Washington Wizards. That is not the company that you want to be in.
No, it's not.
And that, to me, is arguably the most important thing for the Bucks to really see some north movement on, is pushing up that number in the clutch, because, you know, it's not, you'll use the, hey, the game slows down, you play close games in the playoffs. For the most part, that's true. It's not like all of a sudden, okay, it's the playoffs, so every game is close. But those moments matter more. 29th in offensive rating in the clutch is simply not good enough. So that is the biggest thing to keep an eye on and see movement on. And, you know, by the way, it's declined post All-Star break. They were around 97 going into the game last night against the Los Angeles Clippers, and now they sit at 95.5. So the offense has gotten even worse in the clutch. And again, these last 2 games, maybe not the most fair comparison or thing to keep an eye on with the personnel the Bucks have had, but that number has to improve.
And I know he hasn't been the same player. You know, he had double ankle surgery. Justin, you and I have talked about Chris Middleton. You don't have him anymore. Now, that has been one of the more clutch players, especially on offense, for this Bucks team. You look at 2021. Obviously, you look at last year in the playoffs against the Indiana Pacers. Chris Middleton kind of did everything in that series. This is now the category where Bucks fans are looking at a guy like Damian Lillard to be that guy. And he has been. I'm not saying he hasn't. Like, this is it. You don't have Chris Middleton to kind of, you know, I don't want to say bail you out, but, you know, to hit those clutch shots when needed. And Chris has done it so many times throughout his career. And Giannis is going to be Giannis, and he's clutch as well. But I'm looking squarely at Damian Lillard and looking for him to be the guy that he really has been, quite frankly, his whole career. But now it's different in Milwaukee, right? Like, the window is open, and this is kind of a go time. Chris Middleton said it to the Journal Sentinel. Like, I understand where they're at, and they got to win now. And I'm looking at Damian Lillard to help the Bucks improve that clutch rating, because yeah, that's not going to get it done come playoff time.
Yeah, they've played 24 clutch games. That is 15th in the league, but they have played the 10th most minutes in the clutch. have the Bucks. So it's not like, it's a small sample. You know, like they're in the middle of the pack. They haven't had that many cracks at it. Maybe, but it's the takeaway there is when the Bucks are in one of those games, it's usually all of the final 5 minutes that it's back and forth and close. And I think a product of that is that 95.5 number that we've seen with the offense and their struggles there. So, look, if that number improves and even gets to league average, I feel pretty good about where this team is headed, given what we've seen defensively for this Bucks team. One more game this weekend. That is Sunday afternoon at home against the Miami Heat. We'll preview that matchup and wrap things up after this. All right, Sunday afternoon, the Bucks and the Miami Heat. We'll see if they can make it four straight wins and three straight out of the All-Star break. But that's the important part, just keep winning these games, right? As we mentioned, you don't have many of these types of opponents left, the Washington Wizards. And here's what that Wizards game does for the Bucks schedule to take this one off. It's your final game against the Wizards. They have the seventh most difficult schedule left post-All-Star break, toughest in the Eastern Conference. I think it was like a 5.23 opponent win percentage. Now with the Wizards off the schedule, it's the fourth most difficult schedule in a 5.36 opponent win percentage. So it is, it's pretty difficult. You still got one more with the Thunder, one more with the Cavs, one more with the Knicks, two with the Rockets, or one with the Rockets this week, two with the Nuggets. A lot of difficult matchups out there for the Bucks. So again, you don't apologize for what the opponent's record is or how you won. You just take all the wins that you can get.
Yep, that's all. It wasn't pretty, and who cares? Because at the end of the day, when we're looking back at the Eastern Conference, Justin, we're not going to care. You know where they're, how they won in February. We're going to care if they're the 4 or 5 seed and if they got a home advantage in the playoffs, which right now, if the season were to end right now, which is everybody's favorite talking point, it isn't, but they'd be on the road against the Indiana Pacers, and Miami's right on their heels. So this is a great opportunity come Sunday. You get a day off in between, kind of catch your breath a little bit. This team, 5 games in 8 days, kind of right out of the gates and kind of dealing with a lot of adversity as a team. You hope they can just get right health-wise, at least your top two guys, and I think that seems to be trending in a better direction, especially with Giannis, right out of the All-Star break playing, but still on a minute restrictions. For me, it's all about health, and it has been all year.
Yeah, stay where you're at. Stay on that 4-5 line, even if it means you finish fifth.
Sure.
There's no easy out, there's no easy path, I should say, in the playoffs anymore. So that's the one thing to keep in mind when you talk about where's it most important for the Bucks to finish. Like, you're going to have to beat good teams to win a title, but if you do stay on that 4-5 line, it means you're not playing two of those three teams immediately, right? So you don't have to go through potentially the New York Knicks in the first round or the Celtics in the first round and then the Knicks. Like, you wait until the second round with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's the important sustain in 4-5. Sunday afternoon, Bucks and the Miami Heat. That's a 5 o'clock tip from Fiserv Forum. 4:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.